thankful again for God's mercies that He's bestowed upon us here in this low ground sin and sorrow, and has blessed us to be able to meet back out once again. Like I said here recently, I know a lot of times that we come out to church so much and we get to the point and place that we start taking things for granted. And it sort of becomes a formality with all of us. And with it becoming a formality, we have a tendency to sort of backslide, I guess you might say. That's sort of our nature. That's the way we are natured, you know, to sort of put things off or say, well, I'll do it later or I'll get to it. And if it's like it is with me around home, I'll put it off. But I have a hard time getting back to it. So much else comes up that you have to take care of. It makes it hard to be able to come back to it. And a lot of times when you're in the house of the Lord and the service seems like it's a little dull, well, a lot of times it is. We just got to face the facts about it. It is dull. And a lot of times the servant of God has been through no telling what, and he really doesn't feel like he's in shape to try to feed God's people, but nevertheless, the lot has failed his, and he's going to get up and do the best he can. And when we get up and we say, pray for us, brethren, we sincerely, out of the depth of our heart, and also mean pray for us, because this is not something of man. I know God uses men, but this is not of man. And when God's in it and when God blesses, it's like I've said in days past, this is real. God blesses me to be able to see it's real. Not only to see it's real, but to feel it's real. And brethren, we're not just putting things off, I guess you might say, for things to be better for us, because the only thing that's going to be better for us is the Lord. And you don't want to leave the Lord out of anything. And you know, some told me, said, "Well, Brother Frank, why don't you just do this? Why don't you do this?" And I told some of them, I said, "You know, I'm scared to." And they looked at me and they said, "Well, what do you mean, Brother Frank, you're scared to?" I said, "Well, I'm not dealing with you." I said, "I'm dealing with the Lord." And with me dealing with the Lord over here, I said, "If the Lord gets angry, and I said, He turns His face against you, I said, things is going to be very hard and difficult in life." And I said, "That I don't want." In other words, I want to be a child of God, live like a child of God here in this low ground of sin and sorrow. And with us doing that, Brother Philip touched on one word that I guess you might say struck a chord. And I want to try to read that verse and try to get into briefly what I'm going to try to bring before you. Here in the book of Philippians in chapter 3, and let me just sort of read. I read two verses, but I'm going to have to go back to get some of the background behind that. But anyway, here in Philippians 3:20, Paul here is inspired to admonish those brethren. He said, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto the glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." Here, when you begin to look at that, you say, "Well, what brought Paul to bring that out?" Notice here, I want to get the background picture here. Go to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you, and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul comes down here and he's thanking God for them on every remembrance of his prayer. Paul comes a little bit further. I'm going to skim over a lot here. And he gets further down in that chapter. He's talking about his afflictions that he is going through and suffering for the things of Christ here. And he counts it all glorious. Here, you come over a little bit further than that. He is encouraging the brethren there to be more like Christ. To be more like Christ. And then he's coming to those that he started out with, those that are in Christ Jesus here. He is admonishing them to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. Then he comes on down here and starts it in chapter 3. Here, Paul is talking about all of his prestige and everything that he had, we'll say, in the Jews' religion or the law service, and how he exceeded more than a lot of those his equal. And you'll find by him benefiting from all of that, he comes down further over here and he says, I count it all dung. You know, he said, none of this is worth nothing. I count it all dung that I might win the ecclesia of Christ. So here he's looking for that excellence in Christ. Let me sort of... And as he comes on down, let me just jump on down to about verse 12 here, and that sort of gives you a little bit more of the background that what he had under consideration. Paul says here, when he counted all things lost that he had gained in the Jews' religion, he counted it all lost. But now he's under grace here, and he says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, for that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Here, when he starts out there, it sort of here a while back struck my mind, and I did a little study on that. He said, not as though I had already attained. That word here, attain, actually means over here to get hold of. And if you're going to get a hold of something, what is Paul going to try to get a hold to? He's going to try to get a hold to the words of Christ. He's going to try to get a hold to that gospel. That gospel over here. That God, or that word that God delivered to the saints of God over here. He's trying to get that. Not that I've already got it, even though with all that teaching and all that law service and everything that he had, Pharisee of the Pharisees, he said, I still hadn't attained it. I hadn't got it. He said, either were I already perfect. That word perfect there means complete in character. Paul says, I'm not complete in character. When I look out here this morning and look around about, I don't think we are either. You say, what do you mean? We still got a lot of improving to be. That's why Paul went back over here further in the other part and encouraged us to be as much like Christ. He said, work out that salvation with fear and trembling. Now, you got to have something to work out. If you ain't got something to work out, you can't work it out. So it goes back to what he started with there in the beginning of this chapter there, to those which are in Christ Jesus. There's those that Christ has done been put in Christ Jesus. But notice here what he says, but I follow after. Paul said, I'm following after something, brother. Well, Paul, what are you following after? And well, let me stop right there. Let me hit a verse here to kind of clear up and paint you the picture here. Of what he's falling after. Let's get over here into the book of Romans. And let's get into chapter 9 of book of Romans. And here he's beginning to deal with, well, let me start about verse 30 here. He said, what shall we say then? And I said, he's been talking about the Jew and the Gentile here. And back up, I think early in this chapter, Jacob I loved, Esau have I hated, you know. So he's making a division here. He said, what shall we say then? That the Gentiles which follow not after righteousness, not after righteousness, in other words, those Gentile people referred to as heathens, they didn't follow after that law. They just sort of lived their lives. Follow not after the law, have attained, in other words, they have got hold of to righteousness. Now my question is this, brethren. These here were Gentile people. They weren't brought up under that law. And they weren't taught that law because they were born outside the bounds of it. So they didn't follow nor pursue the law in order to get that law over here. But he said over here, not after righteousness, which is the law, have attained to the righteousness. He said, even the righteousness. Now these Gentiles have attained unto that. He said, even the righteous, which is by faith. Big question here. You got people in the world and brethren. It's that they make the comment over here that that's some effort that you got to do, that you got to believe. You got to believe, you know, in order to accept Christ. Well, my question is this. These Gentile people weren't brought up under that. They didn't know. They had heard about it from that of the Jews and watching, observing the Jews, and they're living over here. But, brethren, those Gentile people had that by faith over here. They had that by faith. Question is, how in the world did they get that faith? The only way they could have had that faith, brethren, over here, that they had been born of the Spirit of God and God had given them that faith. Faith is one of the fruits of the Spirit. So you've got to be born of the Spirit. You've got to have the Spirit over here. So, therefore, they had obtained the righteousness by that of faith over here. And let me come on down a little bit further. He said, wherefore, well, let me back up yet one. But Israel, which followed after the law. Notice what they said here. They followed after that law service over here. The law of righteousness hath not attained, in other words, they hadn't got hold of, to the law of righteousness. In other words, they hadn't got a hope to it. Those Jews hadn't got a hope to it. You say, well, how in the world, how can they get a hope to it? Well, let me just sort of back up here a little bit and get back over here into the, I think it's in the second chapter of the book of Romans over here, brethren. Well, Paul is dealing with the Jew and the Gentile over here, but he's also here, he says over here that those Gentiles, they were living that law. Paul says they become a law unto themselves over here, brethren, because they were living that law. Well, you say, well, Brother Frank, how in the world is it? Brethren, I'm saying God gave it to them. Throughout all of those Old Testament scriptures over here, and those prophecies over here, brother, it was pointing to a time that when God had another people over here, that He was going to bring in and make part of their sheepfold, brother. How in the world are they going to get in there? Brother, you had to be born a Jew to be brought up under the law service. These is outside the bounds. That law was never given to the people outside of the bounds. It was only given to the Jewish nation of people, brother. And they was the one, they was to come up, they was to live it and keep it over here. They had the promise of the Messiah throughout the Old Testament scriptures that He was going to come over here. But brethren, I tell you what, they were carnal, brethren. They had the idea, when Jesus Christ comes, He's going to set this thing up and we're going to reign over everything. That's what they had the idea. But brethren, I tell you what, that wasn't the case over here. When Jesus Christ come over here, brethren, He set His kingdom up here, all right. He did exactly that, but He set up a spiritual kingdom. They didn't want the spiritual kingdom. They wanted a physical, visible kingdom over here, where, like we have here in the world today, where there are people that's going to rule over you. That's what they had in their mind, their intentions over here, brethren. All right, that Philippi was an intersection there of crossroads. Great place for business and dealings like that. And the Apostle Paul, in that of his trial, he said it's got to be a good place to preach the gospel. Because you're going to have a lot of people coming through here, and a lot of people can be exposed to that of the gospel over here, and preaching the gospel over here. All right, here at this church at Philippi, he comes on down a little bit further. Notice here, he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, I haven't been seized, or I haven't possessed it. But this one thing I do. In other words, I don't have it all. I haven't got it all, but it's one thing I'm doing. He said, forgetting those things which are behind, I reach forth unto those things which are ahead, brother. What is here? Over here, those Jews followed after the law. Paul says, I'm following after what? I'm following after the Word of God. I'm following after faith over here. And I'm following after that gospel over here. That's what I'm following after. That's what I'm going for over here. You say, well, Brother Frank, what is the benefit of all that? For a little child of God that's been born of the Holy Spirit of God, brother, it's everything to him. When I talk about the church and the kingdom of God is real, brother, it's real over here. If you go forth in that service of God, looking to Him, brother, and trusting in Him over here, and walking by an eye of faith over here,
maybe we can't always see how things are going to come out, you know, but we're walking by that eye of faith over here. You say, what's going to be the outcome? God's going to bless that little child of God. Oh, you say, well, Paul went through suffering. He went through anguish. Yes. Don't you go through suffering and anguish every day? We do. We do, brethren. There's no way around it. You know, one time I had the foolish idea that, you know, if I live closer and closer to the thing, Lord, everything's going to get all right, you know, and I can live a happy life. Well, that hasn't happened. That hasn't happened. You know something else, brethren? I don't think it's going to happen. What's the benefit? Let me go back over here to Daniel, brethren. I'm talking about some of God's people here now. I'm talking about faith. Like he was writing to these here. If God will help me for a few, I want to drop on down here a little bit and get a little bit more into that. But what about Daniel over here? He served his God, brethren. And he was faithful. He's like Brother Phil brought up this morning. He served him unmolested at one time. Now, due to the sins of God's people and the iniquity of God's people, he suffered for them to go into captivity. Punishment of God, brethren. They went into captivity. But even though they was in captivity over here, and when you're in captivity, brethren, is there any joy in that? Not a bit. Matter of fact, brethren, you become a slave or a servant unto to whomever your captives are. Okay? Daniel, it wasn't too good for Daniel down there, but then what did he do? He continued to hold out faithful to his God. And all that suffering, all that, he held out faithful to God. He continued to look to God. His life was so close to perfect. I won't say perfect. His character wasn't perfect. But it was so close to perfect, rather, over here, that when they observed him and watched him, and let me tell you this. When you're out here in this world, brethren, I don't care if you're on the job, I don't care where you're at. The things you do and the things you say reflects on the church.
Amen.
When you got God's people out here, and I've tried to describe it like this a lot of times, when they're dressed in camouflage, when you're dressed in camouflage and I'm out there hunting, that animal can't detect me. You say, I can't. Well, I'm standing up there in the wood one day, squirrel hunting, and late in the season, and the squirrel's on the ground. That squirrel kept coming, and he was on the ground running. And actually, I thought if I hadn't moved, he'd have jumped up on me. I said, boy, this camouflage really works. It really works. You know something, brother? Some of God's people, they are so camouflaged that when they're out here in the world, you can't tell the difference. Don't you think it ought to be a difference in your life? I think it ought to be. They say, Daniel is so close to perfect over here. That character is so good. We got to get to the king over here and we got to get a law. This ungodly evil world, brother, they're wicked against you. You have no idea that the people and the things over here would like to destroy you and destroy this place. All right? They said, we'll go to king, we'll get him to make a law. He made a law. With him making that law, brethren, over here, what law did he make? I really didn't see no need for a law. If you got a real problem with some things, to have a rule or a regulation over here, if you got real problems over here, you might need to have a rule or regulation over here to try to keep it in line. Or try to, in other words, it's a guideline. Laws are guidelines. I learned that when I was in law enforcement out there on the road. You got laws. You can hold that law right down to the letter of it, or you can have some flexibility. I suggest flexibility. You say, why do you recommend flexibility? Because Jesus Christ was flexible with us. If He had held you to every sin and everything that you'd ever committed, I tell you what, you'd be wanting some flexibility. You'd be wanting mercy. If you're caught up in a crime and you've got to go to court and you've got to go before the judge. Now, I'm talking about an earthly judge now, but there's a judge above that one. I'm talking about the heavenly judge that Abraham said, shall not the judge of the whole earth do right? Yes, he will. Yes, he will. And his judgments will be just. Ours may not be, but His will be. Okay? You're going to find out here, they passed the law. Here it is, Daniel. He knew, if I do this, I'm fixing to violate the law of the land. And it's going to be a death sentence. Did he quit? He didn't. And what was he doing? What was he doing? I hope y'all know. I know y'all do. I know y'all do. Getting some areas though, brethren. Brother Philip has experienced this. They passed the law not to pray. Now I go back over here in the Psalm of David, and I find in the Psalm of David where David said he prayed three times a day. Why? Because that was required by God. Alright? David prayed three times a day. They passed the law, can't pray. What did Daniel do? He might have had to slip out here and hide. And he did, but he still went to his upper chamber and prayed three times toward Jerusalem a day. He never stopped. You have got people in this world that despise God's people. Why do they despise God's people, brethren? Because their life is in such a manner and such a way that as they live and as they talk and as they conduct themselves, there is the light of Jesus shining. The light of Jesus. You say, wait a minute, Brother Frank. What do you mean, the light of Jesus? Well, don't you think the disciples had the light of Jesus? I think they did. You say, wait a minute now. Don't you think Peter had the light of Jesus over here? Even though he was saying, I'm not one of them. I'm not one of them. That's going back to your camouflage children of God. Let me put it like that. You have to be careful with language. In other words, he was being like them. Oh, I don't know him. I don't know him. But when that lady, or that young lady, damsel, the scripture says, when she came back, she said, aren't you one of those? Aren't you a Galilean? Here's old Peter now. He's camouflaging now. And she says, thy speech betrayeth thee. There was something giving him away, brethren. And I'm going to tell you what, that's something that gives a child of God away, that gives you away. You say, we've got people, brethren, among the old Baptists, they have got the idea that you've got to start bringing in some things, brethren, to help the old Baptists, or we're going to die out. Well, brethren, I've been trying to fight this fight a long time, and we're still here. We're not large in number, and I don't think we ever will be large in number, but brethren, I tell you, over here, we're still here. God is still blessing His people over here in that of His kingdom over here. Now, let me come on down a little bit further here. There's so much I can get off in all this here. He said, I pressed. Well, I don't read that. Paul is pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling. What is he doing? When you press something, brethren, like one of them doors, you've got to push on it. In other words, that's going to be some effort. There's going to be some labor in that of your life over here to follow after. To fall after that gospel, to fall after that word. It's going to have to be some labor and effort in your life to get there. In other words, brother, you just can't come in and join the church and be baptized. Come down here and sing Amazing Grace and how sweet the name of Jesus is. And then get up and go home and there'll be no change in your life. In other words, you come out here, brother, to hear the preaching of the gospel. That minister of God is to try to get up to the best of his ability and teach that word. And then teach that word, if he's anointed with the Holy Spirit of God over here, he's going to preach that word. What should you be doing? It's learning, brother, in the school. You know, I had some young people tell me a reason. They said, Brother Frank, I don't like school. Well, I said, well, I never did like it either. I said, but God has chosen me to a path over here that's a lot of school. And they looked at me and said, what do you mean? I said, a lot of study. I said, didn't y'all have homework? Didn't you have to study at home? I said, yeah, we did. I said, I have to do it every day. I have to do it till my dying day. Until I'm able. I'll get where I can't, maybe. And sometimes my old mind, I go to getting up this age, this old thing don't think like it ought to and everything. I said, Lord, am I going to be able to hold out? I want to hold out. But let me come on down there. He's pressing. This is what you should be doing, brethren. You should be pressing into the things of God. You should be pressing into the kingdom of God. I hope y'all feel this stuff. I told them here a while back, I forget where I was at now, but I don't know, I got shy and happy. I got shy and happy. I told them, I said, I don't know about y'all, but I love this stuff. I said, I love it. I said, I know y'all may not love quite as much as I do, but I said, I hope you're getting something out of what I'm saying anyway. Now, let me come on down here a little bit further. He said, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Brethren, I tell you what. There's not a one of you perfect. Not a one. Not even me. Very unperfect. Well, how in the world is Paul going to say, as many as be perfect, be like-minded? If you are perfect, brethren, it is because God in heaven above over here, by His grace, has made you perfect. You are perfect in His sight. Oh, wait a minute. What did I have to do to get that? Not one thing. It is something that God gave you. You're perfect. All right? What did Christ say over here? It's in Philippians, though. He said, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. All right? That mind. We should think like Christ. How are you going to think like Christ? How are you going to live like Christ? How are you going to talk like Christ? Pressing in this and following after this word. That's how you're going to get it. Let me come on down a little bit further. I'm going to have to skip over to him. Let me drop down. Watch here what Paul says. Now he's fixing to get back into that church at Philippi. Brethren, be followers therefore of me. All right. That's a caution here. I'm going to put up a caution sign here. Paul said, be followers of him. Because Paul was following Christ. He was following God. He was following that word. All right. I've heard some take this. So, well, we as a church over here, as God's people, we ought to follow that minister. Well, not 100%. You say, wait a minute, Brother Frank. That man, that minister that God's called, he's a man just like you are. You don't know his life like God knows his life. But God knows yours and he knows his over here. He might get up here and start preaching some stuff. That's why Paul's teachers over here, I think to the church at Thessalonica over here, he says, those Bereans search the scriptures daily to see if those things were so. When a man gets up here and preaches, just don't take it. Till you check it out here. You make sure it's so. I was at a place one time, I hit a brother's scripture. Did no harm. No harm. But that was a brother sitting right there. He didn't like it. I mean, he didn't like it so much that he snatched himself, spun around sideways in the seat. Every eye in that house focused on him. Later I talked to him about it. He said, well, it just didn't sound right to me. I said, well, let's look at what the Scripture says. What it was, I was on a communion service over there, and what it was, those over here in Luke 22, they were talking about who's going to be the greatest. In other words, who's going to, what them Jews want to be, who's going to be boss. I use that word boss. Ain't nothing wrong with that, with the Scripture, use that coming in. Christ told them, he said, with the Gentiles have these benefactors over you, in other words, bosses, but with you it's not going to be so. In other words, your boss is in heaven. That's God the Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, brother. I ain't seen no wrong with that. Boy, he did. But I'm going to tell you, when things like that take place in this world, and when God is there, when that Holy Spirit is present there, brethren, what did it do? Paul says, quench not the Spirit. You can't put the Spirit out. You can't do that. But I'm going to tell you what. You can act in such a way or do in such a way you can stop the workings of it. What do you mean? What happened, brother? When that happened, every out of that church went, dried that Spirit up. It dried it up. And I got out of the way rapidly. Let me tell you, God has blessed His servant with some eyes, brother. He's the watchman on the wall. He's the one watching for the flock. When he sees things start creeping in, had a person come to me here recently. say, you know, Brother Frank, I've been some good people. They're good Christian people and everything like this. And I enjoy being with them and everything like that. And they talked about they're going to come visit the church here. And I said, well, that'll be just fine. I'd love to have them over here. But they're going to take part with us in communion. I said, oh. I said, do they belong to another order? They said, yes. But they don't see anything wrong with it. They said, you old Baptist, you got a closed communion. I said, well, let me ask you this. I said, well, and that being the case, they want to come take communion with us. I said, they believe another faith, right? They said, right. I said, and they don't believe those Baptist doctrines. They said, well, they say we got some of it right and some of it wrong. I said, well, if they don't believe in what we preach over here, and I said, if they're going to come and sit down in this communion service and partake of this communion service, Paul says over here in Romans 14, he that eateth not of faith is sin. I said, don't you think it'd be sin to them to partake of something? If you was in another order, visiting, let's say you were visiting, and they got communion. Now, everybody takes from them communion now. Everybody. And with everybody taking in that communion over here, and they're going to pass you some grape juice and some soda crackers around. I've been in some of those now. I said, are you going to partake of it? What are you doing, brethren? The light of Jesus is shining here now. Light. And I said, well, if you do, I said, you are partaking of something that you do not believe in. It's not by faith. And I said, it's going to be sin unto you. Going to be sin, brethren. Going to be sin. And I said, besides, the old Baptists, we do not recognize baptism outside of the old Baptist faith. Why? I said, one thing is, even if they got the proper mode, they don't have the proper administrator. I said, you need the proper administrator to do baptism. I said, Jesus baptized, John the Baptist baptized, Paul baptized some. And I said, I can't find outside the bounds of that. I said, they were all qualified administrators. Okay? But what I want you to see is this over here. What are we doing? You're following after that word. Just like Paul was. Let me come on down. I got to hasten on him. Watch this now. In the church at Philippi, for many walk. Well, I got to back up. I never did finish verse 17, did I? Okay. Brethren, be followers of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for ensample. In other words, that servant of God, that minister, he's an example on the inside to God's people. And long as that example on the inside to God's people is following what this book says, and you have the knowledge and understanding, God has given you light on some things that you got knowledge and understanding of, that's Bible over here, you're to follow him. At any time that preacher, that's why I say I'm putting up a caution, any time that preacher begins to deviate from this or start to bring in some other stuff over here, brother, you are not to follow. You're not to go along with it. I know what case where it happened over here. This individual got to preaching something. The brethren brought him into question about it. And like most all of us over here, a man's way right in his own eyes, or he's going to fight it to the death. Not realizing he's wrong. They can't see this, brother. God has showed me times. They can't see this. In their mind, I'm right. Well, the brother brought him into question. When the brother bringing him into question over here, he tried to talk with them and reason with them, but his reasoning and his thing is, y'all got to see it my way. I've learned one thing over the years, brother. You got to listen. You got to listen. You got to have an open mind, too. Because sometimes they might be right and you might be wrong. All right? They asked him, they said, well, will you then let us get the elders together of the association? Will you talk with them? And the brother said, no, I will not. This is what I believe, and this is where I stand. And then the brethren began to come back. He said, I need to go. He said, y'all need to find y'all another pastor. And he gave them up. Walked out the door and left them. They followed him along with the book, but when he got away from the book, they didn't. You sort of see here, brethren? You got to have a caution here. You got to be, when you call a man of God, you got to be prayerful here that God would send you a man over here that's going to be faithful, I'm going to say, to the faith. Not all are faithful. Watch this now. Let me come on down here a little bit. I got to get this. I wanted to get this. He said, and mark them. Oh, you got some people out here walking disorderly. What do you mean? You're talking about in an old Baptist church? Well, let me ask you this. Let's say Brother Philip here, your pastor. Let's say some of these deacons, which I don't expect this of these deacons, you know. Let's say he gets off from work, and one of the deacons gets off from work, and let's say they go down to the pool hall, and they're in here shooting pool and drinking beer. That's it. That is has been and is among the old Baptists now. Don't you think you need to mark that individual? He's not following God. He's not following. You say, wait a minute. He's talking about the people out in the world. Whoa. The world's already going the way Satan going. These people in here, they're trying to live a godly life. You need to mark them if they're not living a godly life. All right? Let me come on down here. Got that incepal. Minister. For many walk of whom I have told you often. Paul and his preaching constantly. Now, I ain't got time to go back this morning and get in all of Paul's preaching and all the stuff that he got on, brother. But he was constantly warning God's people. What are we doing today? We're warning God's people continually. Now, I can't get you by the hand like a child and make you do. Can't do that. I can preach it. I can put it out here to you. But it's going to be up to you to take it. And it's going to be up to you to use it. If it's in keeping with God's Word, you take it and you use it over here, there will be good consequences from. But if you don't use it, you say, well, I'm going to ignore this, but this is what I want to do. I enjoy doing this, and I'm going to do that, which is going to be a bad decision. There are going to be consequences, bad consequences that go with that. Every decision in your life will make some type of... I want to say... conflict, either conflict or good in your life. Everyone. You know something, brother? You get to look at this book. This book really shows you something. This is serious, brother. And I'm going to tell you what, it's scary. I don't know about y'all, it's scary. But let me come on down here a little further. For many of whom I have told you often and now tell you weeping. Paul is crying here, brethren. Tears is coming off his eyes, off his face. He's crying. Have you ever cried about the things of the church? Have you ever laid awake all night worrying about the church? I have a lot. You say, why? Because when you see it going in the wrong way, when you see things taking place that shouldn't be taking place over here, I tell you what, that old servant of God, he ain't going to sleep too good. He going to pray too, boy. He going to pray. You want something, that'll put him on his knees. And it'll put God's people on his knees. God's people want to come to the house of God, which is supposed to be. David said, when they said, let us go up to the house of God, he said, I was glad. You ought to be glad. You ought to be glad. To come out here and hear the things of God. Oh, yeah. And if the Spirit of the Lord is here, there should be some joy and there should be some peace and happiness in the service. Now, I've been in some services there when it wasn't no joy and it wasn't no peace and it definitely wasn't no happiness at all. That poor servant of God, bless his old heart, the Lord just shut the door on him and he tried to teach that lesson on duty and woof. God's people didn't receive it very well. And that servant of God, I've heard references of servants of God. They take those scriptures and use them like an axe handle over here to beat down a child of God. Brother, that ain't going to work. I learned a long time ago, you cannot force God's people, nor can you drive them. If you do start doing that very much, sheep, you start doing sheep that much, what are they going to do? They will revolt. Can't do it. All right, I got to hasten on, brother. I hope y'all enjoy this. Let me go ahead. Notice here. Paul was crying and weeping and warning the church about this over here. And they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. These people are enemies of the cross of Christ. Enemies. You tell me what? They in the church. If you're in the church and you're trying to get that church to go a different way than it stood for all these many years, you become an enemy. You might have your name on the church book. But my question is, because you got your name on the church book, are you in the church? Not on it, but in it. I want to be in it. I want to be on it. And I don't want it just on a book. But I got to realize now. He said, wait a minute, brother friend. Your time is going to be out. No, I can't do that because I've got to a place with my diabetes and everything and the medication and stuff they got me on that affects my body. I'm going to tell you what. By the end of this day, this old boy will be had it. Just literally give out. You say, what's that? I'm nearing home. I'm nearing home. Watch this. I got to come on down a little further. And I got to get back to what I want. He says, the enemies of the cross, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. What do you mean? You mean your God can be your belly? This is Bible now, brother. Frank, oh, Lord have mercy. You're not using too good of English or speech. Like I told a bunch of them here recently, I said, I may not have that pulpit etiquette. I don't have that. I said, but one thing is sure. I'm just trying to what God has put in my heart to get that truth out to God's people the only way I know how. But we don't got what we want, eloquence. Pulpit etiquette. Proper speech. I was in a place, and they was preaching me and some more, and this brother got up, and he had one level tone, and he picked up and go down. He said, I guess y'all noticed that I emphasized that. I didn't say a word. I'm sitting there. And he keeps on. But later I found out he had went to a speech school to give public speech. When I got up there, I just messed it all up for him then. Because I didn't have the public speech thing. I just messed it up. This thing puts you in situations, brother, and it puts you in places over here where you're not, even as a servant of God, with other servants of God, you feel like you don't fit. Let me come on down here a little bit further here. He said, whose end is destruction? These people now. We'll talk about some that's in the church. He said, whose end is destruction? Whose God is their belly? You say, what's their belly? That belly there, you run it down, means appetite. Notice, they have got an appetite for earthly things. They have got an appetite for physical things. They've got an appetite for carnal things. Not spiritual, brother. Not spiritual. And whose glory? They glory in this. What do you mean, glory? Y'all watching the news the other night. I'm not going to use no names. Whose glory is their shame? I'm talking about. I hear some talk about big preachers. Well, brother, I'm going to tell you, there's no big preachers. We just preachers. Some just know more than others. I think that would be a good way to fit it. You know, some got the 5 or 10 talents. Some got the 1. But we all still preachers, brother. They can just do a better job of it than I can. You say, well, we don't need them. But that body of Christ needs everything it's got. Can the foot say to the little toe, I have no need of thee? Can't do it. You don't realize it, but that little toe is important. You don't realize it either, but that big one is too. I done had to go to the podiatrist. And they x-rayed my feet. And boy, they were hurting so bad. They got them when they don't hurt now. But I didn't realize this. There is 26 bones in the foot. Wait a minute. No. Oh, it's 54 54 bowls in the hand. That's the hand wrist, 54. And I think 52 in his wrist. I had to talk to my doctor about it next time I go in there. She had me a picture and showed me all them bones that were in the foot. There's a lot of little bones in there. They all have a job. But let me hasten on here. He said, and whose glory is their shame? I'll tell you about them two tele-evangelists on that. And this one turned around, he said, I want y'all to think about this. Think about it now. He said, I know when Jesus Christ was here on the face of the earth, he was riding a donkey. He said, Do you think if Jesus Christ come back today, he's going to be riding a donkey? He said, all right, congregation, think about this now. And he said, I want y'all to buy me a private jet over here that costs $54 million. He said, if Jesus come back today, he'd have him a jet, be flying around the world preaching the gospel. Y'all get me that jet over here where I don't have to stop and refuel with the one I got over here. He said, I can fly around the world and preach the gospel. Did you hear something in that, brethren? I did. His appetite's on carnal things, brethren. My family looked around me and said, Dad, what you think about that? I said, let's see if I can get this right. He's out to fleece the flock, not feed the flock.
I don't know about y'all. I sort of thought that fit. He's fleecing them. He's not going to feed them. But you know these people? They're sending thousands of dollars. Believing that in the depth of their heart, they believe they serve God, brother. And they are serving God. God will reward them for what they've done. But those people right there, I tell you what, I would be very scared if I was in their shoes and if I was doing such as that. I don't think God's going to look on that kind. Let me come on now. I got to get this. And he said, who mind earthly things? He's telling you, her earthly things. Verse 20. This is what I want to get to. This is what he touched on. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior. You said, Brother Frank, what conversation? What's that? I do word study sometimes. I got so many notes, y'all. I'm going to tell you what the truth. I tried to go buy me a Bible big enough to where I can go back, transfer these notes, I just little them, and write it down the side of the pages. And I want it big enough to where I can get it all in there. I went to two different Bible schools, and they said, they don't make them that big. I said, well? He said, just make your little notes over here. Well, I do that too, but let me get on that here. That word conversation now means citizenship. Now, I was amazed when I saw that. I tell you what, that opened the eye for me. That word citizenship means, our conversation's in heaven. Our citizenship's in heaven. In other words, you are a citizen of the United States of America because you were born into this country. You are a citizen of heaven because you were born into the family of God. You are a citizen of heaven because you were born into the family of God. All right? When those disciples over here were wanting to know who was going to be boss of them in Luke 22, wanting to know who's going to be boss, there ain't no bosses. You're going to find over here, we are in this world. We are in this nation. Thank God I'm a citizen of the United States of America. We're in it, but we're not controlled by it. Our control is in heaven, brethren. Our control is in heaven. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, brethren. That's why our conversation is there. If our conversation is there in heaven, don't you think that our lives and our conversation in heaven should be the same here on earth to the best of our ability? Now, I know you ain't going to get perfection. I mess up so much, you ain't going to make the grade. But he said over here, for our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do y'all look for him? I get up every morning. I say, Lord, is this the day? If so, I'm happy. Let's go. I done had enough. I done beat on enough. Watch this. Next verse. Oh, I like what Spirit inspired Paul to pen this.
Who shall change our vile body? Oh, this body is bad. This tent, this tabernacle is bad. Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. He was in the flesh. Who shall change it, our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto the glorious body, according to the working? Body's going to be changed. It's going to be fashioned like the glorious body, like Christ's body. Whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. That word subdue there means put in subjection or to put under his control. Ain't you glad you're under God's control? I'm going to have to slam on the brake, boys. I tell you. It's real. It's real. Now, when I go up to the house of God and I meet and I try to do the best I can, which is not much, and I know Paul says the Spirit of the Lord helps our infirmities. I can tell when that Spirit helps my infirmities, my weaknesses, my shortcomings. I can tell. You can tell, too. You can tell. But when you get there, when I come out to the house of God, I want to come out and see Jesus. If I'm going to see Jesus, I need to see the Spirit in the service. I don't need to just get up here and like a school teacher. But sometimes if you do a lot of preaching, that's the best you can do. I've learned that over the years. If you do a lot of preaching, your mind sometimes becomes so tired and so... It's just like it needs a rest. And you can't quiet. You can't quiet. You'll get down. Lord, I just made a big failure. Let me get out of here. I want to hide. That's the way I feel. I heard said one time about an old preacher, one of the older preachers in the area. He'd go preaching. He'd have a bad weekend. He'd come home. I ain't going back no more. I'm not preaching anymore. I'm giving it up. I'm hanging up. I'm going to hang it up. They said along about Wednesday or Thursday, he'd get his Bible bag out. He'd go back at it. Next Saturday, he'd take off again. Why? Because, brethren, Paul says, I left out that first part, that he had been apprehended. In other words, Paul had been seized and apprehended or possessed by the Adam of God. Paul said, I haven't seized it or possessed it, but I have been seized and possessed by that of God. And so therefore, I'm following. I should have got the rest of that, but I didn't. But isn't it wonderful, brethren? You can go out to the house of God, set up on the sound of the gospel. It's very obvious to the church and everything that the Spirit of the Lord is there and that you've been blessed to feed on spiritual bread from heaven above, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Does it make you feel better in your heart? It does me. And when I, on Sunday, if the Lord have mercy on me, boy, and I tell you what, I'm blessed to... He has mercy on me and blessed me to tell it like it ought to be. I told him a while back, I wish I could tell it, but I know I can't. but with the Lord with you can. But when you're blessed to tell it, feel it, I'm going to tell you. It's the beautifulest thing on the face of this earth. It's the most delightful place on the face of this earth, right? I don't know about y'all. I love it. God bless all of you.